organization and the opportunity to be here. I'm going to discuss a work which I did in collaboration with Yasuyuki Atsuda and Marcos Marinho on topological string from quantum mechanics. So here a brief summary of what I'm going to discuss. So the starting point in our construction is going to be a toric Calabi-Yau, and at this Calabi-Yau we will associate a certain quantum operator, which I will call rho. Then, once this is well-defined, we will look at the spectrum of this operator. And usually when you have an operator, the most convenient way to encode the information about the spectrum of this operator is to define its spectral determinant. So what we will do is that we will conjecture an explicit expression for the spectral determinant of this kind of operator. And we will see that this explicit expression will be given in terms of Gopakuma-Vafa and refined Gopakuma-Vafa invariant on this geometry here. So in that sense, we have a new relation between the spectral theory of certain quantum mechanical operator and the enumerative geometry on the historic background. And the good point in this construction is that this gives us some testable prediction. And this conjecture by now has been tested in many ways. And then I will switch to a more physical side. And I will argue that this operator can be seen as the density matrix of an ideal Fermi gas. So this will give us a Fermi gas formulation of topological string on this toric background. And this formulation is non-perturbative and background independent. And now, before starting, I would like to review some background concepts that I will use later. The first one is the concept of topological string. So this is a two-dimensional conformal field theory coupled to gravity. Now, this is a big theory, but I don't want to enter in all the details, because at the end for this talk, the only quantity that we need is this quantity here, which is called the free energy of topological string. And this free energy has this can be written in this way here. So it has a so-called genus expansion. Okay, GS is what is called a topological string coupling. And those are the genus G free energy. And this this parameter here is what is called the Keller parameter, and is related to the size of our target space. And then it was shown by Gopakuma and Vafa that this genus expansion can be resolved into this expression here. Okay, where those coefficients here are determined by some integer invariant which characterize your target space. When m is equal to 1, for instance, you have this expression here, so d1. These are the Gopakuma-Vafa invariant. And then you have this same factor. And you see that, for instance, if you take g equals 0, this will give you a 1 over sin. And when you take the value of the topological string coupling to be equal to pi, 4 pi, and so on, this just explodes. Okay? So there is something going on here. And later in this talk, I will show you that actually there is a natural way to cure this kind of divergences. Okay, so once you have your theory of topological string, what you can do is you deform it by adding an additional parameter. Okay, so you end up with a theory with two coupling, and this is what is called the refinement of the topological string. And this refinement is such that when you take the two coupling to be equal up to a minus sign, then you end back with the topological string theory that you start from. And what happened is that when you study the spectrum of those operators, which I was mentioning before, this rho, there is another limit of those refined topological string which play a role, and this is what is called the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit. So in this limit, you take one of the constant, you send it to zero, and you keep the other one fixed. And then, for instance, you obtain this form for the free energy. And this is similar to what we were having here, but now those coefficients are determined by a refinement of the previous invariant. So when M is equal 1, for instance, you have this form here. So those are the refined Gopakumar-Waffa invariant. And you see that, for instance, here, again, you have this 1 over sin factor. And when h bar is equal to pi, 4 pi, and so on, this also gives you some divergences. Okay, and this is also something to keep in mind. And another notion which I will need is the concept of mirror symmetry. So I was mentioning that topological string is built on a sigma model. And usually you have two types of the sigma model that you can consider. One is called the A model, and the other one is called the B model. And the key observation is that those two are related by mirror symmetry. This means that if you have a certain Calabi-Yau x, then there is another Calabi-Yau, which I will call x tilde, such that the A model on the previous one is equivalent to the mi model on the second one. And this x tilde is what is called the mirror of x. Now, from a practical point of view, this means that when you do computation, you can choose if you want to work on x or on its mirror, because at the end, the two theory will be related by mirror symmetry. In particular, in our construction, the starting point for the construction of the quantum operator is the B model. But at the same time, the ingredient in the construction of the spectral determinant will come from the, from the A model. Okay, so now I would like just to briefly introduce the geometry for which we think our conjecture apply in a straightforward way. So we are going to consider the case in which X is a toric del pezzo Calabi-Yau. So this kind of geometry can be classified by polyhedra, which are those polyhedra here. So at each of those polyhedra, we have for each of those polyhedra, we have a toric del pezzo Calabi-Yau. And actually, you can read off all the geometrical information that you need on those geometry from those drawings here. Now, in order to be a little bit more concrete, I will focus my example around this geometry here. This is what is called local P2. And you can visualize it as like a CP2 with a bundle. An important property of this of the geometry is that the mirror of this historic Calabi-Yau is described by this curve here, okay? Where this one is a polynomially exponentiated variable. And actually, it was shown that all the information that you need in order to compute those genus G free energy is encoded in this curve here, which define a Riemann surface of genus 1. So given one of the previous geometry, there is a straightforward construction which allowed you to write down this kind of equation here. And this is going to be the starting point of our construction. In the case of local P2, for instance, this curve here is given by this. So you have a polynomial part in the exponentiated variable, and then you have the complex modulus of your geometry. Okay, so now once you have your equation, which define your mirror curve, what we do in order to construct our operator is that we quantize it. Okay, so this means that we promote x and p to some operator, which fulfill the standard commutation relation, and then we identify the modulus with the exponentiated energy. So our starting point equation become an eigenvalue equation for this quantum operator here. Okay, and if you think in standard quantum mechanics, this is a little bit what happened with the Schrödinger equation, where you have your classical curve in phase space, and then you quantize it by promoting its P2 operator, and you get your Schrödinger equation. Okay, now one more observation is that the main object in our construction is not directly the operator that you obtain by quantizing this mirror curve, but it's the inverse of that operator. And I will come back on this in a moment. So in the case of local P2, for instance, this was our starting point equation. Okay. Then we quantize it, so we get this operator here and the eigenvalue equation for this operator. And then we can write that in terms of a wave function, and we get a difference equation. Okay. Then you can also apply the same quantization for procedure, for instance, in the case of the TODA chain. This is the Hamiltonian, and then you quantize it, and you get a difference equation for your TODA system. Okay, so now we have seen how to construct this operator by quantizing the mirror curve. And actually, the operators that you get in this procedure are really nice. And recently, it was given a rigorous mathematical proof of the fact that those operators are of trace class, and they have a positive and discrete spectrum. And sometimes, like in the case of the local P2 geometry, you can compute the kernel of those operators explicitly. And it has this explicit expression here in terms of the quantum dilogarithm, okay? And B is related to H bar in this way here. So now that we have our operator, a natural question you can ask is, can we compute the spectrum of those operators? And we will see in a moment that the answer is yes, we can do this. And the spectrum will be encoded in the Gopakuma-Vafa and refined Gopakuma-Vafa invariant of the starting point geometry. Okay, so before going on into this, the computation of the spectrum, I would like just to make a point about what was already known in this quantization of the mirror curve and what we are proposing. So it was already known that the quantization of the mirror curve gave you a difference equation of this type, and that the WKB solution of this difference equation is related to the Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit of the refined topological stream. Now, what we are proposing instead is that the good operator to look at is not directly the one arising in the quantization, but is the inverse. And this is because this one is a trace class operator, so you can define object like the spectral determinant, and this spectral determinant already contains the full information of on the spectrum. And if you take this approach, then what we found is that the spectrum is determined both by the standard and the refined topological string, and they both come together into this spectral analysis. And in particular, with this approach, you can also compute the full non-perturbative correction to the WKB expansion, and those are completely determined by this standard topological string. Okay, so now we can go back to this computation of the spectrum. Now, from a physical point of view, the fact that those operators have a discrete spectrum can also be understood by looking at the phase space and at the Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition. So, for example, here we can look at the toy model of the harmonic oscillator. Okay, so this is the operator of the harmonic oscillator, the eigenvalue equation. And this defines this region in the classical phase space. Okay? So we take the classical version of this operator and we bound it for a given energy. And this is the corresponding phase space region. And then you have the Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition, which tells you that for each cell of volume 2 pH bar in this region, you have a quantum state. Okay? And this Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition automatically gives you a first intuition about the quantization of the spectrum of this harmonic oscillator. So what we expect is that every time we have an operator which defines a compact region in phase space, we expect to have a discrete and positive spectrum. And this is always the case for our geometries. In the case of local P2, for instance, this is our operator, okay, the classical version of our operator. And we bound it for e to the energy, okay? And this defines this region in phase space, okay? And then you have the Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition, and this gives you a first intuition about the discreteness of your spectrum. And this is actually also a good approximation of the spectrum when you have large quantum numbers. Sorry?
Projection, right?
Yeah. Also, the moduli, what we are doing here is for real moduli, okay? And also, H bar is real and so on.
Discrete spectrum and TODA.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you assume that the Kardyava is a single modulus?
Yeah, okay, so for what we are doing here, we are using toric del pezzo. So those have genus 1 mirror curve, so they have one real modulus. It's true that there is another modulus which is identified like the mass parameter, but this we are not. This is not getting quantized in this procedure. What we are quantizing is this true moduli, which correspond to the fact that we have a genus 1 surface. So actually, yeah, one of the interesting things that one could do is try to generalize this procedure in the case where the mirror curve has an higher genus, it's higher genus, and then there is more moduli. Okay, but what we are doing here is for genus 1. Okay, so we have seen that given a certain toric Calabi-Yau, we can construct a mirror operator by quantizing the mirror curve, and that by looking at the Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition, we can have a first intuition about the spectrum. Now, I would like to look at this quantization condition more in detail. So it's known that in general, this is just an approximation, and we have quantum correction. And these quantum correction are of two types. The first one are quantum correction, which are perturbative in H-bar. So those can be determined by WKB method. But then you also have the non-perturbative correction in H-bar, which are of this form here, so e to the minus 1 over H-bar. And then once you include those two correction, you obtain this exact volume and this exact quantization condition, which give you the exact energy level. Okay. So this is the perturbative part of the volume, which include those correction here. But then you also have the non-perturbative part of the volume, which include those non-perturbative correction. Now, in the next slide, I'm going to show you how to compute this exact quantum volume. And I will show you that this is actually a consequence of our conjecture for the spectral determinant. Okay, so we can start by looking at the perturbative part of the quantum volume. And to get an intuition, we can just look at the toy model. Okay, this is like the standard Hamiltonian, and the classical volume is given by the integral over the B cycle of this differential, where P of x is determined by this equation here. And the B cycle, physically, it represents some oscillation around the minimum of your potential. Okay. Now, when you go at the quantum level and you look at the perturbative quantum volume, what you do is that you take your differential and you promote it to a quantum differential, okay. So now this P of x is no longer determined by this classical curve, but it's determined by the quantum version of this curve. Okay. And then you have this the perturbative part of the volume, which can also, it's also called this quantum B period, okay. Now, this is just a toy model, but essentially the same story also go on for our geometry, because this is what defines the mirror curve of your geometry, and this defines a genus 1 surface. Okay, so it naturally has the notion of A and B cycle, and exactly as before, the perturbative part of the quantum volume is obtained by integrating over the B cycle the quantum differential. Okay, and this quantum differential is determined by the quantum version of this curve here. And the key observation here is that for our geometry, this perturbative quantum volume is completely determined by the refined topological string in the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit. And this is something important and to keep in mind. Now, there is another quantity which I will need in a moment, and is the quantum A period. Okay. So instead of integrating over the B cycle, you integrate your quantum differential along the A cycle. And this is what is called the quantum A period. Okay, now, if you take into account just this perturbative part of the quantum volume, okay, you can write down a perturbative quantization condition, which look like this. Now, the point is that this perturbative quantization condition doesn't fully make sense because, okay, so here you have something which is well-defined for every value of 2 bar and so on, but this part here, this diverge for infinitely many value of h bar. In the case of local P2, for instance, this is what you have, okay? So you have a polynomial part in the energy, and then you have a part which is exponentially small in the energy. And the problem is that those coefficients here diverge. When L is equal to 1, for instance, this is what you obtain. So you see here you have this 1 over sin, which when h bar is equal to 2 pi, 4 pi, and so on, explode. And actually, this this divergent here is due to the fact that this perturbative part of the volume is determined by the Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit. And I was mentioning at the beginning that the Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit has some divergences, and those are precisely the divergences which are responsible for this pole here. So, yeah? Yes, in each bar.
So, is it a function of h bar, or is it from a power series in h bar?
It's okay. At the beginning, it's a power series in h bar, but then it was shown that this WKB series in h bar can be resummed into a function which is exact in h bar. And this is what is done by this by those people here. Okay. So at the end, this is a function in h bar. It's no longer a series in h bar, you can resum it.
Power theory into the minus energy?
Yes. So it's exponentially small in the energy. Okay.
Parallel summit without involving non-perturbative.
Sorry?
Is it resummable?
Yes, yes. This the WK you can resum this WKB expansion into a
standard Borel.
No. This is something which is special of those geometry and that involves the Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit. Okay, this the fact that you can resum this series in h bar into a function which is exact in h bar, but is a series which is exponentially small in the energy.
Does a function of E in h bar exist?
E?
So
it, yeah, what
is the, this series, is it convergent in the energy?
Yeah, it's convergent. This series here is convergent in the energy. It has a finite radius of convergent at large energy. Okay.
So it's some non-perturbative completion which is not good. Mm. I mean, which has unpleasant poles.
Yeah, this is the perturbative part. Okay, and this...
If it's a function, it's not a perturbation theory, then it's an answer.
Yeah, exactly. What we miss here is the non-perturbative part. Okay.
So in these functions are, how do they behave if it's back to zero?
Sorry?
How do this function behave if it's back to zero? Just
when h bar is goes to zero,
yes,
yeah, this is like a power series in h bar. Then you got like h bar to the fourth and so on. Okay.
So
it's
regular.
Yeah, it's regular WKB middle and
smooth function.
And the good point is that using this refined topological string, people were able to resum this WKB expansion. But this is still not enough, because this cannot be cannot reproduce the correct energy spectrum. And one of the reasons are those poles here. Okay. So now I'm going to show you actually how to cure those poles, how to correct this perturbative quantization condition. And I will show that those corrections can be computed in a straightforward way from our explicit expression for the spectral determinant. So this is what we got. So for now, just take this as a prediction for our conjecture. I will show you in a moment how to derive this. So this is exact quantum volume that we obtain. Okay. So this has this form here. It has a polynomial part in the energy plus some a part which is exponentially small in the energy. And this is completely determined by the refined topological string and the standard topological string. For instance, if you take m equals 0 here, okay, you recover the perturbative part of the quantum volume that I was mentioning before, but this has some extra correction. And those are precisely those correction e to the minus 1 over h bar. Okay, so a non-perturbative correction in h bar. And those are completely determined by the standard topological string. So you see that this operator here somehow contains the information about both the standard and the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit of topological string. And when you study the spectrum of this operator, those two limits come together in such a way that they combine to form a well-defined quantity, which has no longer pole, and determine the spectrum of your operator. Okay, so as I said, this is a prediction from our expression for the spectral determinant. And the good point of this prediction is that it's testable. Okay? Because once you have your exact quantum volume, you can write down an exact quantization condition. And then you can compute the energy level, and you can test them, for instance, against the energy level that you obtain by doing an independent numerical analysis of this operator. Okay? So this is the case of local P2. This is the ground state energy. And we take, for instance, h bar equal to 4 pi. Okay? So we saw that this is given as a series. Okay? This is a convergent series. So the more term we include in our series, the better we are supposed to approach the correct value. And this is the ground state energy obtained by including in the volume terms up to this order here. And you see that the more term you add, the better you approach your correct answer. Okay. So from our spectral determinant, we can make this prediction, and then we can test this prediction against numerical computation. And we have a good matching. Okay, so now this is our main object, okay, the spectral determinant. So given a certain operator rho, the spectral determinant of this operator is defined in this way here. So it's the product of 1 plus kappa times the eigenvalue. So e to the minus n denote the eigenvalue of this operator here. And you see, for instance, that once you have an expression for this spectral determinant, then you can easily work out the spectrum by looking at the zero of the spectral determinant. Because this object here vanishes precisely when kappa take this form here. So you can read off your spectrum by looking at the zero of the spectral determinant. And this is precisely how we were computing the previous exact quantization condition. Now, there is another property that I will need later. And it's the fact that this object here, the spectral determinant, is an entire function of kappa. Okay. So for our geometries, this essentially means that nothing weird happens when you go around your moduli space. Okay, and this is our conjecture. Okay. So given one of the previous geometry, we can quantize the mirror curve, define this operator here. And the spectral determinant of this operator is given by this expression here. And now I'm going to explain the various terms which appear in this expression here. So the first term is this chemical potential mu, which is related to kappa in this way here. Okay. So the chemical potential is related to the Keller parameter of your geometry in this way here. So the Keller parameter is a sort of effective potential, which is given by this expression here. And those parameters, R and AL, are determined by the quantum aperiod. So mu is related to the Keller parameter of your geometry in a way which is dictated by your by the quantum aperiod. Okay. Then the second quantity is the ground potential. This has this form here. So it has a polynomial part, and then it has two extra pieces, which are exponentially small in mu. Okay. For instance, this is what we call the worksheet part of the ground potential, and is given by the total free energy of the standard topological string. And we saw at the beginning that this free energy has some poles, and those poles are precisely curved by this second part here, which is what we call the membrane part of the ground potential, and is determined by the refined topological string in the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit. So you see that When you have your operator and you look at the spectrum of this operator, you find that this spectrum is encoded in this quantity here, which is the ground potential. We combine together standard and refined topological string in such a way that those produce a well-defined quantity. Okay? And we will see that actually this membrane part of the ground potential give contribution of type e to the minus 1 over gs. Okay? So it gives contribution which are non-perturbative in the string coupling constant. So from that point of view, this refined topological string give you a non-perturbative completion of the standard topological string, which is such that the pole cancel and you can produce the correct energy spectrum. And then the third object is this generalized theta function. This is also determined by the ground potential, so by the standard and refined topological string, in this way here. Okay. And the name generalized theta function comes from the fact that in some cases, this reduces to a standard Jacobi theta function. And also, the zero of the spectral determinant are determined by the zero of this generalized theta function. Okay. So there is no zero coming from this part here. And our exact quantization condition actually is the equation which determines the zero of your generalized theta function. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to illustrate all this in a case in which everything becomes very simple and nice. So there are some value of h bar for which you can show that essentially only genus 0 and genus 1 free energy play a role. Okay, so those are what we call maximally supersymmetric cases. And this happens, for instance, when h bar is equal to 2 pi. In that case, the spectral determinant take this expression here. So the generalized theta function just reduced to a standard Jacobi theta function. Those are just constant, okay? And those quantities are determined by genus 0 and genus 1 free energy. And usually for those geometry, okay, the genus 1 and genus 0 free energy have an explicit expression in terms of Meyer or hypergeometric function. So in those cases, we really have a closed expression for the spectral determinant in terms of a standard Jacobi theta function and hypergeometric function. And this is something quite rare to have, usually, such a close expression. In the case of local P2, for instance, okay, this is your generalized theta function, which reduced to a standard Jacobi theta function. We are, again, in the example, h bar equal to 2 pi. Okay. And then your exact quantization condition actually is it comes by looking at the zero of this Jacobi theta function. Okay. Then once you have your exact quantization condition, you can again compute the energy level and match them with the energy level that you can compute numerically. And again, we have a perfect matching. Okay, so. Now I would like to come back a little bit on this property that the spectral determinant is an entire function of the moduli space. So for our geometry, the moduli space usually has three special points. Okay? One is called the large radius point. So it's the point in which mu is large. Okay? Then we have the conifold point, and then we have the orbifold point, where kappa is small. So we have seen that by looking at the spectral determinant close to the large radius point, so in this large mu regime, we can write down an exact quantization condition and we can compute the energy spectrum. Okay, so what you can also do is that you can look at the expression for the spectral determinant close to the orbifold point. Okay. And if you do this, then you can automatically compute the spectral traces of your operator. And this is what I'm going to do now. So the spectral traces of your operator are defined in this way here. Okay, are the trace of rho to the L and they have an explicit expression in terms of eigenvalue. So it's the sum over the eigenvalue to the Lth power. Now, there are two ways in which you can compute those spectral traces from our expression of this for the spectral determinant. And the first one is directly by looking at the spectrum. So you take your expression for the your exact quantization condition, you compute the energy level, and then you sum them up in this way here. Okay, and then you obtain, for instance, those are the first three spectral traces. Okay, in the case of local P2 when h bar, again, is equal to 2 pi. But then what you can also do is that you can compute the spectral traces by looking at the expression for the spectral determinant close to the orbifold point. Okay. So you are in this small kappa regime. And the log of the spectral determinant has this expansion here from which you can read off the spectral traces. And what you obtain is that you have a matching between the spectral traces computed from the spectrum and the spectral traces computed from the orbifold point. Now, this is not not so special because, as I said, this spectral determinant is an entire function of the moduli space, so you do not expect anything weird happen when you look at different points of the moduli space. But what is remarkable is that you can compute the spectral traces also directly from the explicit expression of your kernel. Okay, so what we were doing here is computing the spectral traces from our explicit expression of the spectral determinant in terms of Gopakumar-Vafa and refined Gopakumar-Vafa invariant. And what you can also do is compute the spectral traces directly from the explicit expression of the kernel. Okay, so you just do this integration, and then what you obtain is that the spectral traces computed in that way from this explicit expression in terms of the quantum dilogarithm precisely match the spectral traces which are computed from the expression in terms of topological and refined topological string. So somehow this operator knows about those Gopakumar-Vafa and refined Gopakumar-Vafa invariant. And this computation of the traces is, again, another check of this conjecture. Okay, so. Now I would like to briefly discuss this Fermi gas picture. So what we do here is that we think of this operator, okay, as the density matrix of a certain Fermi gas, okay. And in this picture, the grand potential that I was introducing before is just the grand potential of your Fermi gas, okay. Then when you have your Fermi gas, what you can do, for instance, is study the large N limit of your Fermi gas. And you can do this in two ways. For instance, you can look at the Toft limit. Okay, this is a limit in which n is large, h bar is also large, but n over h bar is fixed. Okay, and you can show that in this limit, the grand potential just reduces to the standard free energy of topological string. But then there is also another limit in which n is large, but this time h bar is fixed. And in this limit, you can show that the grand potential reduces to this membrane part of the grand potential, which is determined by the Nekrasov of Shotashvili limit. And we saw that this part is also necessary in order to cure the singularity which arises in this Toft expansion here. Okay. So here, just to briefly summarize, so we, if you look at this Fermi gas picture, okay, we have seen that on one side, we can reproduce the perturbative expansion of the topological string, which is given by this expression here. So GS and H bar, this is the string coupling constant, and H bar are related in this way here. And this perturbative expansion emerges when you look at the Toft limit of your Fermi gas. But then you also have that this picture includes the non-perturbative effect in the string coupling, and those are encoded in this membrane part of the grand potential. So this gives contribution of type e to the minus 1 over Gs. So this Fermi gas picture gives a non-perturbative construction of topological string in which essentially the refined topological string here provides the non-perturbative completion to the standard topological string. And the good point is this construction is that is testable. So you can predict the spectrum of your Fermi gas. You can test it against numerical computation, for instance. And then it's also a background independent formulation. Okay, it doesn't depend on the point of the moduli space in which you are. And this is because you have a Fermi gas, so you can encode the information in the spectrum, so in this spectral determinant, which is an entire function of the moduli space. And okay, then always with this Fermi gas picture in mind, what you can do is that there are other tests of this conjecture that you can do. For instance, you can test the Toft expansion. Okay, so when you have a Fermi gas, usually you can there are two ways in which you can compute the partition function. Okay, the first one is directly from the spectral determinant. Okay, so your partition function is given by this expression here. This is the ground potential that I was introducing before, and it has this explicit expression in terms of Gopakuma-Vafa invariant and refined Gopakuma-Vafa invariant. And then somehow by construction, okay, if you look at the Toft expansion of this this partition function, you recover the Toft expansion of topological string. Okay. Now the non-trivial test is this part here. So what you can also do is compute this partition function from the density matrix. Okay. So by using this explicit expression of the kernel in terms of quantum dilogarithm, okay, you can sum over all the permutation, and then you obtain your partition function. And if you do this, okay, and you look at the Toft expansion at weak coupling of this partition function, then you reproduce the weak coupling genus expansion of topological string. And this is not obvious because, I mean, a priori, this is just given in terms of this quantum dilogarithm. So it's not obvious that this contains information about topological strings. But this is precisely what we are conjecturing. And this, again, is another non-trivial check of this conjecture. Okay. So now I would like just to draw some conclusion. Okay. So we have proposed a correspondence between the spectral theory of certain quantum operator and the enumerative geometry on those toric background. Okay. And this construction has as central object this spectral determinant. Okay. And this spectral determinant is, if you want, on one hand, it computes the spectrum of those quantum mechanical operator, but on the other hand, it also has this explicit expression in terms of Gopakuma-Vafa and refined Gopakuma-Vafa invariant. And a good point is that this proposal that we are making is concrete and is testable, and so far it really passes many tests. Okay. And then there is this special case, which is particularly nice. And in this maximally supersymmetric case, we were able to give an explicit expression for the spectral determinant in terms of Jacobi theta function and Meyer function or hypergeometric function. Okay, and to have such a close expression for the spectral determinant is usually quite rare, also in standard quantum mechanics. Okay. And then we saw that physically the meaning behind this construction is a Fermi gas formulation of the topological string on those toric background, and this Fermi gas formulation is non-perturbative, is background independent, is testable, and is such that the standard topological string emerges when you look at the Toft limit of your Fermi gas, and the refined topological string emerges when you look at the thermodynamic limit of your Fermi gas. And those refined topological strings provide a non-perturbative completion of the standard topological string. So here are some future direction that may be interesting to look at. The first thing is it would be great to try to understand why this conjecture is true. So how it is that the spectrum of those operators knows about the Gopakuma-Vafa invariant. Okay. So far we have many tests of that conjecture, but we still don't have a proof. And yeah, it would be great if eventually we could prove it. And another interesting generalization maybe could be this higher genus problem. So I was mentioning this is this construction hold for those toric del pezzo calabiau. Those are genus 1 curve. They have a mirror curve, which has genus 1. So it would be interesting to see how to generalize this to the case in which you have a mirror curve with higher genus and more moduli. And then also we were imposing some restriction on the parameter, which appear in that spectral problem. For instance, H bar was always real. And it would be good to see how to extend this when H bar is complex. So what are the convergent property of those series and so on. And then another interesting problem is this connection with integrable system. So it would be good to try to see how and if our exact quantization condition reduced to the quantization condition of the integrable system, which are connected to the gauge theory, which arise when you take a certain geometrical limit of your topological string. Okay, and this is all. Sorry?
You have quantum A period.
Yeah, and B period.
Yeah. Do they still satisfy yourself to be?
Yeah, they have trivial monotony around you.
So you can check that all the coefficients in the expansion.
Sorry?
That the coefficients in the expansion.
Yes.
They also can satisfy the monotony property. That's AL and BL.
Oops. So those coefficients here? Yes? No? Yes. So you are asking about those coefficients, right?
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, what?
The monodromy, like there is a, I just applied this L2Z monodromy transform on the Riemann surface.
So like, I'll do the this just depends on H bar, right?
Oh,
it does not depend on the model. Okay. The all dependence on the energy, which is identifying like your model, the modulus of your
transition,
is here, yeah.
Explain a bit more about what do you mean by
background. Yeah, okay, so as I said here, okay. So what we mean is that we want a formulation which doesn't depend on which point of the moduli space you are. Okay. If you are here or here, nothing weird should happen, okay. Now in our formulation the moduli is identified with this parameter kappa, okay? And the spectral determinant has the property which is an entire function of kappa, okay? So it's an entire function of your moduli parameter. So when you go around the moduli space, you do not have anything weird happen, okay?
All right, no, let's thank all again.